Welcome. We are so glad you've joined us today. Are you ready for another Bayside Christian Church podcast? Let's get straight into it.
Wow. We've been doing a series on Jesus' way of discipleship. Last week we talked about joy and wisdom. How's it been going with the joy factor? It's been off the Richter scale this week, eh? Or has it been challenged where you've had to sometimes say, God, I'm going to give you a sacrifice of praise today. And I pray that you've got wisdom increasing over your life. Today, I want to pick up the next point, how Jesus was full of love and compassion. Compassion. When Jesus ministered, when he physically walked on the earth, he poured out compassion, love. He taught his disciples to learn to live out of their spirit of compassion. Now, compassion is not just sympathy. It's just not feeling sorry or pity for someone who's in hurt or in need. It goes way deeper than that. It takes you into a place, I call compassion love in action. God's love in action flowing through you. To speak words, to do kind deeds, to help point people the right direction, to help give them support when they want to give up. And Jesus released compassion. And you'll notice as we look at some of the scripture today, whenever Jesus was moved with compassion, breakthroughs and miracles happened in people's lives. And I believe God wants to move us, not just from mercy, not just from wanting to help people and in need, but it comes out of your spirit being. I remember when I was a youth pastor years ago on the Sunshine Coast, and I was at a camp. And I, for the first time, I felt the power of compassion flow through me. I loved young people. I was a youth pastor, and there was a whole bunch of young guys that were just being really difficult as youth camp. And I think, God, how do I sort them out? Some of them were brought up in church and thought they knew everything at the age of 15, you know. And you want to tell them off, but the Holy Spirit says, no, let's just worship. And then all of a sudden, compassion came over my soul, and I started to pray and weep for them in this youth meeting. Within 10 minutes, they were all at the front giving their lives to Jesus. I thought, okay, Lord, you've shown me something very powerful here of compassionate work that I'd never really tapped into before in my life. From that day on, whenever my heart is moved to compassion, things shift and people's lives change. Because it's almost like, it's like heaven's love and power gets something in your spirit and it reaches out and it grabs people's hearts. It goes past all of their fences, all their barriers, all the lies. It can just love overcomes. It says love never fails. That's the compassionate love of Jesus. When it's at work, that people cannot resist it long term. Something shifts. They either run away or they're drawn in by the power of this compassion. It's released by the Spirit. The Bible says that love is spread abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's the compassion of Christ that flows through you and changes people's lives. Matthew 14, it says, verse 13, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. He wasn't feeling just sorry for them. There was something of the heaven was flowing through his spirit and his heart, and healing started to flow. It says he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. I love Jesus. This is discipleship training to the extreme. They said, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Basically, one boy's lunch. 5 little buns and 2 little fish. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. Now, one of the other versions of the story says, they only multiplied when the disciples actually started handing them out. It wasn't like Jesus prayed and then all of a sudden you got 15 truckloads of bread and fish in front of them. Can you imagine those disciples? Peter, if there was 5 loaves and it's divided by 12, so it's less than half a loaf each or a bun each. And they've got, a sixth of a fish each. And there's 5,000 men plus women and children, hungry people in front of them. Can you imagine what they were thinking? Put yourself in the story. We think, wow, it all just multiplied. It says it multiplied as they started to give what they had. I reckon Peter said, just take a few, just one mouthful, because how are we going to feed all these people? But all of a sudden, it just never ran out. It just kept on going. Hey, when compassion flows, things get multiplied. When compassion flows, it takes you from the natural realm of love and communication into the supernatural realm of God's kingdom breakthrough. And compassion is what released it. Then it says, they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. I love this. There was a basketful for each one of the disciples, so they took home and fed their families for a few days. When you serve Jesus, he'll make sure that you are provided for. There might be some stretching times, some times where it's a real stretch, but let me tell you, when you are loving people, moving with God's compassion, faithfully serving, God will make a way to provide for you and your family in the process. That's amazing, the details that God does. And it says the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides the women and children. There could have been 15,000 people or more there. That's a huge crowd to feed. That's a big crowd in a worship service. But to feed them all, reminds me of Pastor Abram in India. When they have their conferences, they don't just get together for 3 or 4 days. They feed everyone 3 meals a day. And they all sit down in lines, and you sit down on the mats back to back with a banana leaf in front, and then they come and put the rice and the curry and everything, and that's how they feed thousands of people. And then they eat with their fingers. Don't have to wash up knives and forks. It's a really great way to do life. The plates, they just throw them out, the banana leaves, they've done their use. But it's a huge crowd. And yet, because Jesus was moved with compassion and the disciples finally caught on out of obedience, and there's so many truths in that story. I think the greatest miracle is the boy gave up his lunch. You got a hungry boy giving up his lunch, eh? And we see God's grace. Matthew 15:32 says, Jesus called his disciples and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. You say, is this the same story? No, it's actually the next chapter. This time there was 4,000 men plus women and children. So Jesus not only did it once, he did it twice, and he probably did it more times, but they're the only two that were recorded when it came to huge multiplication of food. But I reckon it probably happened more times as well, because God's grace is there. Matthew 20 verse 34, it says, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. This was 2 blind men. Pity won't get you into that realm of the supernatural. But when your heart loves Jesus, his spirit within will stir, and you'll start out in the natural, because they had to start with the natural bit of food they had. But as they acted in obedience, you go from the natural to the supernatural. And sometimes the transition is so natural that you don't even realize it until afterwards. You think, whoa. Has caused an open door in that whole household that it's hard to believe. And sometimes you'll get rejected for a random act of kindness, but there'll be one person in that household or one person in that group will come back and say, hey, that touched my heart. So don't give up when there's rejection. Just keep saying, where's the one that you are reaching right now? And the Spirit of God, because compassion will always open up heaven, and it will open up people's hearts. And many of you have seen that over and over again. Some of you run businesses and you're always looking for ways to share the surplus, the overflow. Some of you, whenever you bake up cakes, you always do more than you need, because you're going to give some to the neighbours or some to the rallies or whatever. Compassion can be shown in all sorts of ways. God gives you a powerful story, and instead of letting fear hold you back from sharing your story, you say, God, show me the people that I need to share my story with. But if fear holds you back, say, I'm not a good speaker, and what if they reject my story? Hey, if God's given you something, let it be powerful, because your story is a powerful means of touching people with hope. And I want to encourage you, don't hold back. Exodus 34:18, Moses had amazing encounters with God. And he says, show me your glory. And listen to what happened. Verse 18, Exodus 34. And he passed, this is the Lord, passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. When you reach out to seek God, his goodness will be revealed to you, and his compassion will somehow touch your soul. Some will read the Old Testament and say, oh, it's just a whole lot of an angry God just beating up people who rejected him. Hey, there was lessons and consequences, but the heart of God has always been compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. The psalmist repeated it, Psalm 103, verse 8, which we read some this morning. Verse 8 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. That word abounding means totally overflowing. When God says abundance or abounding, it means a total overflow. Not just filling the cup up, it's spilling out everywhere. You know, God just does everything in abundance. Why? So that it not only just meets your needs, but it's for other people as well. In the New Testament, Ephesians 4:32, and we've had this touched on today already, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Do you realize when compassion's flowing, forgiveness is easier to flow? When anger and hurt and offense fills you, it's really hard to forgive. But when you step back from it and say, God, that has really been unfair, it's been hard, it's been harsh, it's been cruel, it's been jealous, it's been vindictive. But when you step back and say, God, fill my heart with love for you, and Lord, fill my heart with love for those who have taken advantage of me. And compassion will start to flow, and then forgiveness is easier. That's how it's linked together. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So today, we can look and see what we're wearing naturally, but more importantly, what clothes are you wearing over your spirit and your soul? That's what God looks at. It says he provides for clothes and for our natural needs, but he's probably more interested in what have you clothed your soul and your spirit in today? Is it clothed with compassion and kindness? Is it clothed with mercy and grace? Hey, we all get tested on this. You know, you go down to the shops and there's a huge lineup. You're driving around in the wet weather trying to find a car park near the shop entrance. Good luck. And you just about get one and someone darts in front of you. I heard a little story about last Sunday that was surprised me. And Matt and the team have started up coffee. So you can pay for coffee and get a really good one, and that's... And so you're not just buying a coffee, you're partnering with the youth ministry to bless them. So you can get free tea and coffee, or if you want to get one that's made by a barista, trained barista, and that's fine. How much are they? $4? Yeah. Last week, because we started first time, there was a huge lineup, and I was surprised and shocked that some people that were waiting got really upset and angry at the young people serving, and I even heard someone swore at them. And I'm thinking, were they from our church or were they some visitor that walked in off the street? I was hoping it was the visitor off the street. They said, no, that was someone from our church. And I said, Wow, they must have forgot my message really quick because I preached on joy. Didn't last long, did it? Hey, we're all human beings, but we've got to choose to walk in the gift fruit of the Spirit every day. We've all got friends or family especially that know how to trigger us and just... Hey, I think we all need to be reminded, let's be clothed with compassion. Let's choose. We've all got things that stir us up. And most of us get hangry. When you get hungry, you get angry if you have to wait too long. Anyone else identify with that? God wants us to learn to manage things so that we can shine Jesus, whether your needs are being met or not. Because compassion is always about the other person, not about you. Compassion takes the focus off yourself and onto other people. It takes your focus off yourself onto the others that God has created that maybe haven't yet experienced His grace or healing or are just struggling through life at present. Compassion will move you from thinking about yourself and your own needs to someone else's. And that's Jesus demonstrated in bucket loads. Even the tax collectors and sinners love to spend time with Jesus. That's a mystery because He would have been challenging their lifestyle. What was the difference? I reckon Jesus had such love and compassion for them as people that shone through and was like a bridge that even carried the challenging words that Jesus said, hey, go and sin no more. There's a better way. Because compassion will help you see people through the eyes of Jesus. And He saw these people just burdened down by the Roman authorities, by poverty, by sickness, by need, by all sorts of stuff. He saw them as people without a shepherd, lost and overwhelmed. So then you don't get angry at the neighbor who's just difficult because you see them as someone who's suffering without God's love and they don't know how to do life. And God, give us wisdom and grace. And as Pastor Peter said, you need truth. So it's not just nice, soppy love. It's compassion is love with boundaries. It's wisdom of when to speak and when to set things in place. I want to ask you the question, how do people feel after you've spent time with them? Either in a leadership or a discipleship or a whatever relationship you've got. After they leave your presence or your home or your group, how do they feel? I hope they feel loved and drawn closer to God and there's something shifting in their life because of who you are and what you carry. I've met some amazing people in my life. I've met a few that stir you up to frustration and anger. Not in this crowd, but I've met a few over my life. Mainly in workplaces, that just seem to go out of their way to aggravate everyone. Sometimes they're just so overwhelmed by guilt or shame or pain. Some people are in chronic pain and it's really hard for them to be patient. I've had a little bit of pain the last few months and I realised, hey, you've really got to work hard when you're in physical pain or emotional pain or mental pain to stay focused and treat people with kindness and grace and respect. It's harder, but it's not impossible. And I want to encourage you, how do people feel after they spend time with you? Do they feel loved, encouraged, inspired? Do they feel like, hey, I can go and take the world on? Or I'm inspired or supported or loved? That's the effect Don McDonnell has on me whenever I meet him. He just loves Jesus and loves people so much that I could go and take the world on after spending an hour with him because he just oozes love, compassion and life. His church is called Inspire Church. He just wants to inspire everyone to find their purpose and destiny in life. Murray Newman does the same for me, the smiling prophet who just carries joy and he just imparts Jesus with joy into your heart. Maybe you can think of one or two people right now that nearly every time you spend time with them, you just go away encouraged, inspired, feeling better. Your head's lifted up. You start thinking better thoughts because they've prayed for you. Or just some people have just got a great sense of humour. I just love hanging out with them. They just, you know, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Joy and humour is a great gift. Other people just carry a grace and wisdom that when you chat to them, you go away thinking, wow, that's really helped me see things with fresh perspective. Jesus was full of love and compassion. Let's look at one more today. Jesus was the most amazing teacher of truth and life. The best teachers I know are not just people who tell you what to do, but they help you discover truth. I remember I had a maths teacher, and we were dealing with, I think it was grade 11 or 12, and we were into some pretty heavy, heady math stuff, which I think now is probably about second year university level. We were doing in grade 11 or 12. They were just pumped it out. And I remember we were dealing with some fresh concepts of cos and tan and sine, all the different angles, and my head's spinning. And he just, for about 10 minutes, did some stuff up on the board and explained in a way, and he led us all to discover. And you could almost hear the, aha, now I get it, across the room. And I've never forgotten that moment. I thought, God, if I ever get a chance to teach people, help me to lead them to discover, not just tell them what to do. And I reckon that's what Jesus did. Yes, he gave information, black and white, but he helped people discover truths in life. Matthew 11:1 says, after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. There is a difference between teaching and preaching. Preaching often is declaring truth, but to inspire, to challenge, to break through. Teaching is where you unpack things so people can grasp it and be transformed by it. And often there's a mixture of the two. I remember Kenneth Hagin was a great preacher, and he said one day he was preaching and he remembers the day that he shifted, the anointing on him shifted from being a preacher to a teacher. He said it shifted. And from that day on, he started writing all his books and explaining stuff, whereas before he was a great preacher, and he said there was a different anointing came on him. Some people move from one to the other. I move from one to the other. Sometimes I'm a teacher and other times I'm a preacher. Sometimes it's a bit of both and sometimes I'm not sure if it's either. That's okay. Just let God flow through your life because he's made us in his image. Matthew 5:1, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach to them. And you saw me sitting down a month or two ago when I couldn't stand up because of my back and my leg. Jesus sat down to teach. In those times, the teachers sat down because that was the way they focused and communicated. I'm not sure where in history we got used to people standing up to teach or preach. I'm not sure, but you can do it either way. He began to teach and then he said, this is the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Uh-oh. There's some pretty deep stuff in this Sermon on the Mount. We haven't got time to unpack it today. But when you get persecuted for your faith, the Bible says rejoice, and you're going to enter into more understanding of the kingdom of heaven. Because it's only when something's challenged that sometimes you realize how powerful and good it is. Then he went on and he said, blessed are you when people insult you. What? Persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Sometimes we get really upset and angry. We pray against every demon and scheme of the devil when people get upset with us. There are times to take authority, yes. But there are other times to realize that, hey, when you get challenged, when the storms come, what happens? The trees just put their roots deeper. When you get challenged by people's unbelief or deception or lies or philosophies or their own distorted views of who God is and they try to impose that on you, is it going to drive you deeper or are you going to react to them? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. And so, yes, we pray, we take authority, we do those things. But I want to encourage you, don't get angry at God when things get tough. Just go deeper and realize that God says there's great reward for you. I think some of us Christians need to toughen up a bit. I haven't been on a missions trip for a while, but boy, I'm missing it, because every time I go to India or Thailand or some of these countries, I see the Christians there and I think, mate, we are so soft in so many ways. The things they battle through every day to stand for Jesus, I thought, what a blessed country we have, but sometimes it makes us comfortable and soft and vulnerable. Come on, let's be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, whether everything's going great or everything's against you. Don't give up. Don't pull back. That's the time to put your roots down and say, in Jesus' name, you went through the cross so that you could redeem us and restore us. And by your Spirit, we're going to live in your power, not just in circumstances that are good or bad. Joy is greater than happiness, because happiness depends on happenings. Joy is a gift of God in your soul. And he goes on and says, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Oh God, help us never lose our saltiness. Salt adds flavor. You better put a bit of salt in wood, it makes people thirsty for more. I pray that's the effect you have on people. When you get on Facebook and try and sort out their wrong philosophies and doctrines, make sure that at the end of it, you've made them thirsty to find more truth, not just to prove your point. Be salt and be light. You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's just a powerful summary. If you ever think, I'm not sure what to read, just do the Sermon on the Mount for a while, Matthew 5, and spend a few hours meditating on that, and I'll tell you, your life will be challenged and changed. Mark 4:35, it says, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. So I say, I just can't understand the Bible. It just seems to be contradictory, and there's so much going on. Hey, sometimes Jesus tells stories and parables to make you dig to find the meaning. Because if it's all given to you on a plate, you don't appreciate it. It's like when you grow your own veggies. You really value them when you peel them and cook them. You just go walk past the shop and grab a bag or something. You don't value all that's gone into producing that. And sometimes digging in the Word and growing in faith and letting compassion and kindness flow where you could easily just react, it makes you grow and value the true things of the kingdom of God. Jesus teaches so much through the Word, by the Holy Spirit, through life's experiences and through other people's stories. Just always be a learner. Always be a learner. And a famous person said, when you stop learning, you start dying. I thought, Lord, help us to just keep growing and learning. Always be hungry to keep learning. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. That's why reading, studying, memorizing, worshiping. A couple more verses to wrap it up. James says a bit about teachers. Listen to this one. James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, serving in an official teaching capacity, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who are teachers will be judged by a higher standard, because we have assumed greater accountability and more condemnation if we teach incorrectly. Whoa. When I first got called to the ministry, some of those verses scared me. I thought, God, I don't ever want to teach people wrong doctrine or wrong belief systems or easy answers when life's not that simple for some of us. So I regularly stop, and it's a healthy fear of God that if you're helping disciple someone in their faith, whether you're teaching a class or a group in church or in the community, I want you to realize there's great power in teaching and your words and persuasion. Just make sure it's truth. You don't have to stretch it to impress people so they think you're more knowledgeable than you are. God will sort that one out real fast. You're better off saying, I'm not sure, but give me a chance and I'll go and find out for you, than to try and have an answer, whether it's a spiritual or natural answer, and really it's just a combination of 55 other people's opinions on Facebook that you've now put together, but mightn't be truth at all. God, help us to be aware that teaching is a great gift, it's a great responsibility, and it brings a healthy fear of God. And Marilyn and I and the pastoral team here, we pray and seek God always, because we know there's great power and influence in teaching and communicating by our life and our words. Let's do it right. Don't cause that for you to pull back and say, I'll never do it. The Spirit of God will draw you forward into it, but do it right. And this last passage, James 1, 22 to 25, as the worship team come and don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. Whoa. Say, I know that truth. You know it in your head, but you're not living it. It said it's actually a form of self-deception. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word. I love that thought. When you read the Bible, you'll start to see yourself as God sees you. Valued, honored, respected, and also challenged to change and grow. Then it goes on and says, you perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. Whoa. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all that they do. Wow, wow, wow. Hunger for the word, hunger for truth. Read, discover, listen, hear, study, grow in truth with understanding. Be careful which teachers you listen to. It says in the last days, people have itching ears and they'll just listen to those who agree with what they think. Let the whole word of God, that's why it's good to read through whole books of the Bible. Don't just read your favorite chapter that talks on love or faith or grace or whatever it is, or end times. Let the whole counsel of God adjust your thinking and your ways. Be careful you don't just listen to teachers who are on one track. I'm not saying they're wrong, but if you don't have the balance of the whole counsel of God, you are at risk of going down unhealthy pathways. Some of you are nodding your heads because we've been down that pathway before. But God says the whole counsel of God. Let the Holy Spirit break it open. So today, Jesus taught and demonstrated compassion, and he also was the greatest teacher ever. I want to encourage you today. Let him be your compassionate Father. Jesus came with his nail-scarred hands to touch you. And when you minister and share with people in your life, your circle, your discipleship pathway, let's make sure we do it with compassion and love. In your workplace, how do you treat your employees? In our families, in our ministries. And then keep looking at how Jesus taught. One secret of Jesus' teaching method was he asked a lot of questions to expose people's hearts. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to ask empowering questions that reveal people's real beliefs and soul. And then you won't be answering questions that they're not asking. Jesus always answered questions that people were deep down were asking. And the Holy Spirit will help you. Let's stand in his presence today. Oh, God, you're so good. I just feel his beautiful love here today. His compassion. Just close your eyes for a moment and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to take away from this message and this service today? Because we should be better people because we've met with Jesus, we've met with one another today. And the word has washed over our minds and hearts. We should grow and be better people. How am I going to live that out this week in work and home and my neighborhood, the challenges of life? Maybe you're here today and you're saying, well, I'm not sure if I've ever experienced that incredible, compassionate love of Jesus. I know about God. Maybe you're watching online today and you've had a journey where you know about Jesus, but maybe you've never ever opened your heart to him, or once you used to. Today is a day where you can respond. Let's just close our eyes for a moment, because it's a holy moment right now, and the Holy Spirit's just drawing people. And all servers, you've felt your heart beating fast inside. You know that something's happening. You can see over the past weeks or months that God's been trying to reach your heart. If you've never opened your heart to Jesus before, or you need to come back and reaffirm your faith, I want to give this opportunity right now, and I'd like to pray for you. Holy Spirit's just drawing hearts. Christian, just pray right now. The Spirit of God's drawing hearts. If that's you, say, I need to open my heart to Jesus, or I need to come back to him. If that's you, just lift your hand and give me a wave today, because I want to pray for you today. Who's that today? God's calling you. God bless you. Who else today? Down the back, in the sides here. God bless you. Who else today? And that's me. Maybe you've never done it before, or it's time to come back to him. Who else today? God's calling. I can feel his love. God bless you. He loves you so much. I can feel compassion. I can feel his nail-scarred hands reaching out with invitation. Say, come. Come to me, and I'll teach you, and I'll change your life.
Thank you for joining us. The Bayside Christian Church community aims to transform our city and beyond with the life and power of Jesus Christ. If you want to know more or just keep in touch, check us out at www.baysidechristianchurch.com.au or follow us on our social media sites at Bayside Christian Church.